broadcasting before and probably after the rapture. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
All right, folks, we're back. You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. Paul Henderson became a Canadian sports legend back in 1932 with 34 goals scored and seconds remaining. I need my glasses. Where are my glasses?
It's ironic you can't find them. There they are.
I can never remember what this guy's all about.
He played some sports.
Hockey, I think, right?
Yep.
Hold on, let me... Oh, here
hooky.
We go.
No, it was hooky.
Paul Henderson became a Canadian sports legend on September 28, 1972, with 34 seconds remaining in Canada's game against the Soviet Union. Henderson scored the winning goal and lifted Canada victory in the series of the century. Today, Henderson shares the lessons of leadership, teamwork, and commitment he learned during his professional hockey career to help motivate organizations and individuals to reach their own incredible goals. Henderson's career spanned 19 professional seasons, during which he played over 1,000 major league games in the NHL and WHA. He was a two-time NHL All-Star, playing in the 1972 and 73 All-Star games. Sports writers and fans have frequently called for Henderson to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame on the strength of his performance. Commentator and former coach Don Cherry, former guest of the Drew Marshall Show, argued that Henderson's status as a hero of the greatest series in hockey history was enough to qualify him. Henderson published his memoir, The Goal of My Life, in 2012. Henderson has been inducted into Canada's Sports Hall of Fame on two occasions. Paul Henderson was named a member of the Order of Canada 2012 in recognition of his engagement in support of a range of social and charitable causes, along with his achievement, blah, blah, blah. Paul Henderson, ladies and gentlemen. That's a lot of stuff, Paul.
Well, you know it is, but with six concussions, I just need to be reminded of it, so I'm really glad you read it all.
Did you really have six concussions?
Oh, yeah. Six that I know of, at least. I used to be really sharp until that happened.
Yeah, really? I like some evidence.
Yeah, I had three before I put my helmet on, and I had three after.
So, wait, what you're saying is there's no point wearing a helmet?
There's no point. Yeah, well, it doesn't help.
What do you think? There's a movie coming out, or is it out
it's
already?
It's out already, yeah.
The movie called Concussion, starring Will Smith. Any desire to go see that?
Well, I think it would be informative. I mean, obviously, we're a lot wiser today in terms of the consequences of them. So yeah. I think it would be interesting. Yeah.
I had a conversation with Kathy Lee Gifford just before Christmas. It was her first interview after Frank died, and she let us know that they donated his body to science and they studied
just his brain.
Oh, it was just his brain.
Yeah.
Okay, and they found that he had.
CTE.
Yeah, he had symptoms of concussion, bad concussion stuff, and I don't know, is it the kind of thing that you think we're just getting a little politically correct over, or is it something that we really need to be concerned about, Henny?
Well, I think we need to be concerned about it. I mean, we've got a bunch of guys right now that are in very bad shape with dementia, don't even know who they are. I mean, these were all-star players in the NHL, and this was the pre-helmet, Stan Mikita, Andy Bathgate, Harry Helvers, a lot of guys that are struggling in this area. But, you know, for us, I mean, you take one day at a time. We can't go backwards. And I don't think there's anything much you can do about it now. So it's just a reality of life and you learn. And I think football players now, I mean, it's coming out, I think, more with football players. And I think football is a lot worse than hockey at this day and age because of the size of these guys today, but who knows down the road?
Yeah.
And the way they hit, I mean, you can't help but you can't avoid it.
No, there's got to be some serious head jarring. Yeah. Here's a question I don't think I've ever asked you, Paul, over the years, but do you actually have a public opinion that you can express freely about salaries of professional athletes? Because as a poor schmuck outsider and as a teacher sitting across the desk from me, Tim the Tool, I have a tough time with these exorbitant salaries. I really do.
Well, I don't have any problem with it whatsoever. I think, you know, you get paid what the market will bear. Obviously, it doesn't matter where you are, if you're a teacher or anybody else, you negotiate a contract and you get paid. And right now, sports is just, like when you price, $217 million bucks. Imagine the hassles he's going to have trying to invest that stuff and take care of it. See, yeah. We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, feel
there's
bad.
A downside to that. The thing.
Come on. Come on. You're asking me to feel stupid.
First world problems.
Gee. Do you think you got ripped off back in your day?
No, I don't. I think that probably if we would have had a union or something, we could have done better, but we did well. I mean, I have no regrets whatsoever. I mean, everybody thinks that, you know, it's the money that brings you happiness. Well, that doesn't do it. I mean, I sure didn't want to be poor the way I grew up, but you don't have to be wealthy. As long as you've got food on the table, you've got a home and that, you got a car that moves, I think we're pretty fortunate in this country, but it gets ridiculous after a while. I mean, I don't need a bigger house. I don't need a newer car. I don't need anything more than I have. So I don't feel a bit sorry for myself in terms of I had a great life and we made good money. And so, yeah. But I don't bear any grudge against these guys for making the money they're making whatsoever.
You know, everyone talks about, and I've listened to other people I know in the business interview you, John Moore being one of them. And you know, they talk about you with respect, even though you're a God guy. And they talk about you. And they say it's a very positive guy, incredibly positive guy. So I want to know the opposite. I want to know, when was Paul Henderson's darkest time?
I would say playing with Harold Ballard. After I came right back after 72, it was such a high, and got to play with the best players in the world. And when you're on a winning side, you win at that. I mean, it's just an incredible elation and satisfaction and even joy, Drew. But I came back to the Leafs and we had no chance whatsoever of winning the Stanley Cup because we'd lost a lot of our defense to the WHA, and it was a very, you know, a bleak time in terms of you go from this tremendous high and you go back and have to put up with Ballard and you know, we knew we were going to lose more players down the road. And it was not a good time, but I had no, you know, I didn't have a foundation to my life at that side. And I would today, and it's only my opinion, but it was the spiritual side of life. When Mel Stevens got me to look into the spiritual side of life, sort of brought me out of it. I didn't know where to turn, but I knew something was missing. And it was, of course, you know, Mel very well, that it really encouraged me to look at the spiritual side of life. And I started very skeptical, Mel was as patient as all get out. Spent 2 years with me trying to convince me that there was a God. And back in 75, spring of 75, I decided to become a follower of Jesus. I was still very naive in terms of understanding my Bible or faith or all those things. But, you know, I've got a lot of experience, a lot of painful experience, even as a Christian. But that's today. I'm a very positive person. I've got no fear of the future. And I've only got today, and so I'm going to enjoy it. It doesn't matter whether it's raining, snowing, or what's going on out there. I'm going to get up in the morning, start the day with the Lord, and go down and try to live my life the best way I can as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, and as a friend. And it's pretty simple, really, and don't get bent out of shape about anything.
Paul, you know, you mentioned Ballard. Any anecdotes that you share when you do your professional speaking stuff about big, bad Harold Ballard?
No, well, I tell this story about after I became a Christian, my mentor, and it wasn't Mel, but told me I need to, because he knew I hated Harold Ballard. And my mentor said, Paul, you need to get that bitterness out of there. You need to write him a letter and forgive him about what you thought about him, said about him, and that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, God will forgive him. Somebody needs to hate the old SOB. But he forced me to write a letter. And so I wrote a letter to Harold. And my mentor said to me, don't expect them to ever reply to this. And you don't have to worry about that. You just need to get it out of your gut. You need to forgive them. So I wrote this letter to him. And it was incredible. After I wrote the letter and posted it, I was free of him. It was unbelievable. The difference, now I never did hear from him whatsoever. But I can tell you one story. I got sick of him, and so I decided to jump to the WHA, and I actually came to terms with him while I was still playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Harold heard about it and called me in and asked me what the situation was all about. And so I told him, you know, he said, I'm not losing any players. He said, I'm going to match that contract for you, but I'm not giving you the signing bonus. And so I'm not losing any players, any more players to the WHA. Now, here's a contract. Sign this thing, and you don't deserve the money, but sign it. I was not a Christian yet at this point, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so I looked him right in the eye, and I said, Harold, take this contract and shove it. You know where.
Yep.
Well, honest to God, we were in the hot stove lounge. He took the table and just threw it over and stomped out of the room.
Wow. Wow.
And that was not one of my favorite moments of my memory of him, but
no, but it sure is a good story. Oh my goodness, that's insane. Listen, I just want to mention something to you, Tim, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Expect a letter.
This table's attached to the floor, so you'll be okay.
Okay, everybody wants to know how Paul Henderson's doing these days, because you know the cancer got a hold of you, and how you doing?
Well, I still have cancer, but I'm actually doing pretty well. Got into that clinical trial, and I work at it. I mean, I watch my diet. I work out, try to work out an hour and a half every day. And so I got the greatest woman in the world that cooks incredible meals for me and takes care of me and kids and grandkids. So doing really well. Still doing a lot of speaking. And we're going to talk about the marriage conference coming up. So, you know, I got so many good things in my life that I just... Okay, and now I don't care who you are. There's going to be things that go wrong and things that, like that kind. But basically, in fact, I told my wife this morning, we're sitting having breakfast, and I said, you have a very contented husband, sweetheart. And man, if I'm on her, I'm in good shape. So I'm very, very fortunate.
There's something about you that think, I don't know, for some reason, Henny, I think that you are an aggressive driver. I think if you're behind someone slow, you still honk at them.
I don't honk anymore, but I may think something about the person. Let me just say that, okay?
How's your golf game?
It's actually pretty good. I that's a great thing about getting older. Like, I'm going to be 73 here in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
And, that's a great thing about getting, you can still hit the ball pretty well. Now, I work out, obviously, and I'm still fairly strong, but I played some of the best golf I played last summer, so it was good.
Good for you. Do you know I got a hole-in-one over at St. Andrews?
Oh, you are, don't tell me that.
Hole-in-one, have you golfed St. Andrews?
The day we were there to play it, there was the rain was coming sideways, horizontal, and we didn't play. It was just too tough. But I've never played. I was there, supposed to play, but didn't play it.
Well, then
you're kidding me. What hole did you get on?
Well, right in, like, just before you get to the actual old course, there's a place called the Himalayas. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I've heard of it.
It's a giant mini putt, and that's where I got my hole in one, right there.
Well, I'm not even sure I've got one of those. I'm the only guy in the world that's played, 53 years now, and I've been probably a 5 handicap, most or less than that.
Not a hole in one.
Won the club championship.
Yeah.
I'm the only guy that's never made a hole in one.
Yeah. I blame God. I would look at him squarely in the face and say, what are you doing? Come on. He could have sent a bird.
I may do a few things, but I'm never going to blame him for that.
Yeah. I remember golfing out at the Orangeville course beside Teen Ranch, and I think Pete Mueller was in my group. Might have been Ronnie Ellis and Chuck Ealy. And I lined up on that big, wide 5-hole. It's like straight and 1,000 acres left to right. You just can't hook or slice off the thing. And I was going to hum this baby, and I'm a southpaw. And I wound up and smoked this ball as hard as I could. I wanted to drive it right into the ice corral.
Well, you're probably close to doing it.
I reached up and caught my own drive. It went straight up in the air, came straight down in front of me. I caught it, put it back in the tee, and Chuck Ealy fell over and just about urinated himself. It was hilarious.
Yeah, but you got to be so talented to do that.
It's a gift.
I tell you what, there isn't one person in 10 million could ever do that,
nope,
Drew, so
nope.
You're an elite company.
Thank you. See, he always puts a little positive spin
on things
there, eh? Well, there's a Family Life Weekend Getaway Marriage Conference coming to the Queen's Landing in Niagara on the lake. Paul and Eleanor, supporters of the Family Life Weekend Getaways, you want to register for the next one March 4th to 6th. A marriage conference uniquely designed to enrich your relationship. For most couples, it's a chance to reconnect, reestablish the foundation, rekindle the romance. Know what I mean? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. For others, it's a fresh start. For some, it'll be the weekend that saves a marriage. It doesn't matter where you're at in your relationship. It's a weekend to remember. The atmosphere is relaxed and warm and fun. You'll hear from real couples doing real life together God's way. You'll be given time to process what you're learning, and you'll make a plan for a marriage that lasts a lifetime. Special guest speakers are Sheila and Keith Gregoire. You know Sheila Gregoire. She's sort of the lady that comes on our show and talks about sex.
Woohoo!
Easy there, Tim. And then Dave and Ruchia, I think is how you say it, Clausen. And, of course, Paul and Eleanor Henderson. And now there's a two-for-one special. It's on right now. So to reserve your two-for-one special today, go to familylifecanada.com. And you can find out more about it there. So, Henny, when you're sitting there in front of couples, and you and Eleanor have been married, what is it now, 63 years or something? What is it?
53.
Wow.
Okay, I was close.
That's impressive.
53 years. You know, I heard someone say in an interview the other day about bands not breaking up, and he said, well, people say, well, how do you guys do it? How did you not break up? And he said, well, we didn't break up. That was the answer.
Oh, well, that's a good answer.
Would you apply that same answer to marriage? Just don't do it?
Well, Eleanor and I went together before we even got married, and both of us, I said, you know, like this is a lifetime contract. We're never going to, you know, when tough time comes, we're going to work it out, but we're never going to have the option. And I said, we're going to make an agreement right now. We're never, ever going to bring up the word divorce. We're going to work through it. And, of course, I knew I was marrying so far over my head. I was smart enough, you see, to get a pre-op way back before anybody had them. There was no one.
Hold on. Did you say pre-op or prenup?
Prenup. Yeah, pre-nup.
You've been in surgery too much, man.
Yeah, well, I told you I had six cushions. Yeah.
She was trying to get rid of a growth named Paul.
Oh, yeah, so a prenup. Got it, yes. Oh,
and
man.
So, but, you know, but I can honestly say that I never, ever once did I ever think about leaving. Never once.
Hold on. I got to call you on that, man.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, because I'm telling you the truth. Never, ever once did I ever think once of ever leaving. Never, ever, never entertained it for one iota of a second. Never entered my mind. I can honestly tell you that, Drew. And you know I don't lie.
Yeah, I know that.
I do not lie. Well, especially, well, you know her. I mean, you know I married way over my head.
I do. And here's the thing that I know. I know that you used to be a real wound-up jerk.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that any woman that was willing to put up with that was angelic in so many ways.
Well, she knew she was loved. And she knew that I loved her. There hasn't been a day that I've been married to her that I haven't told her numerous times that I've loved her. Even today, I've told her several times, you light my fire. I even just have to look at her, and she drives me crazy. Married all these years, she still drives me crazy.
Easy, easy.
In a good way, too.
It's a family station here.
Got it.
So what do you say to couples that are looking at each other thinking, you know what, I don't know. I don't think we can do it. It's irreconcilable difference. We got married too young. We're looking at each other now, and it's just not. And you know, we're not angry at each other, but it's just we both deserve more. And you know, you hear this from a lot of people today. They say, "Don't you deserve to be happy?"
Well, for sure. And people you can easily get into that rut. There's no question about it. If you start looking at the negative things, the things you don't have, instead of the things that you do have. And that's why this marriage conference, I mean, Eleanor and I have been speaking of these things over 20 years. Huh. The material today is so much better, Drew, it's unbelievable. Like Neil and Cheryl Josephson have redone rewritten all this material, and the material is fabulous. And couples go there, and you get a game plan how to work through the difficulties. And it shows you how to put together a great life. It teaches you how to resolve conflict. It teaches you how to communicate with one another. And the material forces you to talk about the things you should be. We gave two wedding gifts, two couples, young couples, we went to their wedding, and we're we're sponsoring them this weekend. The hotels and their, that's our wedding gift to them. Huh. One's my grandson, and another is Eleanor's niece's son. And we've gotten so much good feedback from the people that have come there and see the results. And yeah. And so it's for people, like we have people who are engaged and not even, they're trying to figure out if they should marry the person. That's a great place to go. And people, obviously, we have a lot of couples come in deep, deep trouble. Sometimes they come in different cars, stay in different rooms.
Wow.
But we've seen... terrible situation. But I tell you, the people that get the most out of it are people that have a pretty good marriage. Huh. Like, you would fall into that category, incredible as that sounds. people that have the really tough issues, if there's been infidelity or abuse or something like that, there's so much they're trying to work through. But people that have a pretty good marriage are the ones that get the most out of it, because you don't have all this garbage to deal with, and you can deal with as things come to light. And I highly recommend it to anybody. We had one couple come on the East Coast. This was about 10 years ago. They were married 56 years. Oof. 56 years. And they said it was terrific.
That's a life sentence.
Well, there you go. Well, some people it is, because some people, you marry somebody that can be a little feisty and that kind of stuff, and some people marry the wrong person. There's no question about that. And we're not saying you're going to save, you're never going to save every marriage. But I'll tell you what, if people want to work at it, this material will help you. Well, and I would say this very honestly. One of the reasons that we have such a great marriage today is we've been applying the principles for the last 20 years that we teach.
Huh.
And the principles, if you want to follow them, you will end up with good results.
FamilyLifeCanada.com is the website. Paul, are you aware of the love languages?
Oh, very much so. Five of them. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Do you have one?
Oh, yeah. Well, today it's different. It used to be physical. but my wife just talked me out of that, and now it's quality time.
Oh, that's funny.
Sometimes you have to flex and obey, big boy.
Oh, that's funny stuff. Funny stuff. Well, listen, Henny, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. You were my very first guest 13 years ago on the Drew Marshall Show, and I appreciate your guts. I really do.
Well, we've had a great show. You are such an entertaining person. You really, really are. You were gifted for this, and I think you're very good at it.
Thank you.
I really do. I'm not yet. No, I got to tell you, I also think you're a character beyond,
beyond help.
That's another story.
Stop it. We're on air now. Paul Henderson, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, is it true? Is your face really on a stamp?
It sure is. Are you kidding me? I've got...
Imagine licking the back of that head.
You want me to bring you some?
Jeez. Boxes of them. Henny, I wish you the best in 2016, sir.
Yeah, same to you, buddy. Have a great one, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on.